Monday Night Talk on Twitter. Start at 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. And don't forget to add hashtag Monday Night Talk to your tweets. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. We want to thank Weymouth Mayor Bob Hedlund for joining us and chatting with us. And just a reminder, get out and vote tomorrow for that special election for the Plymouth Norfolk State Senate seat that is up for grabs. Joining us right now, we have two gentlemen who are no strangers to WATD, no strangers to Monday Night Talk either. And both of them are here to talk a little bit about Father Bills. And if I may, I'm going to read the mission statement of Father Bills. Father Bills and Mainspring is committed to ending and preventing homelessness in southeastern Massachusetts with programs that provide emergency and permanent housing and help people obtain skills, jobs, housing, and services. They help people who are struggling with homelessness and are at risk of homelessness to achieve self-sufficiency. Now, joining us is the chairman of the board of directors, Dr. Michael Krasenik. Welcome.
Kevin, thanks for having us out here.
Now, we know the good doctor normally is here in the capacity with Christine James, usually at election night. He's in the scrum talking about what's going on. So this is a little bit more of a tamer.
Scrum is probably the right word these days, too, I think.
Especially if you've got Dan Pallotta in here, it really gets ugly, you know. But good to have you in here and talking about this, as well as CEO, president of Father Bill's Mainspring, John Yuswinski, who's been here, in here talking about this. And, of course, Zoe, we actually were trying to get Zoe to open things up, but she's just kind of, she likes the whole idea of being in the radio. We actually kind of let her, during the break, look in the other production rooms. It was fun, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, so what we're here to talk a little bit about is some of the things that are going on with Father Bill Mainspring's, the mission, some of the things that you guys are doing. And towards the end of the segment, we're going to promote your upcoming event that we've talked about on this program in prior years. First and foremost, do gentlemen want to kind of open things up? What direction would you like to go? And you want to talk a little bit about some of the services that you guys are, some of the things that you're working on right now? Because there's some exciting things when it comes to building, construction, to be able to provide a space for somebody, whether it's somebody who's homeless, whether it's a veteran, whether it's a family. John?
Yeah, no, thank you, Kevin. Really appreciate it. So Father Bill's in Mainspring, of course, most people know us that we provide emergency housing or shelter, but one of the things that our organization has moved towards is we have more supportive housing than we have units, than we have shelter beds. And that's pretty exciting for us, knowing that the organization is now focusing more on housing solutions and ending homelessness immediately for our fellow neighbors in the South Shore, families or individuals. And you're right, this year we're going to be opening up a 20-unit building in Brockton, named after one of our founders, Jack Conway, and on that same plot of land, we're going to be opening up a two-family house for two formerly homeless families named after Patty Conway. So Jack and Patty, of course, were one of our founders of our mission, and we're just really excited about helping our veterans who will be targeted as a priority in this type of housing, and we're looking to continue to bring more housing to the region, but very excited about ending homelessness and not just managing it.
One of the things that touched me as a member of the board is we have a picture of one of our clients holding up the key to his apartment. And this is enormously important to him. And it's enormously important to us to see an individual work their way out of homelessness, get that key, and have their own space. It may seem flip, but the answer to homelessness is very, very simple. It's getting people home. Mm-hmm. Of course, getting there is, of course, enormously complex. And John works diligently and puts in more hours than most people trying to get that kind of funding through the state, through the federal government, through individual cities and towns, in order to continue our work, which is, as I say, very simple. And as John just mentioned, we're over the curve now. There's more people in individual apartment settings than there is their own home than there are people who are in our shelter, which is what we don't want people to do. We don't want them overnight in a gymnasium kind of situation.
It's not a cookie cutter type of sentiment when we talk about homelessness, because everybody has a different situation. Does that sound right?
Yeah, you know, it does. I mean, I think what we've seen, I've been now been with the mission for close to 20 years, and I think that, you know, sometimes when we've seen the recession hit, like the last one we just had from starting in 2009, we saw a lot of working people needing to come. When the greater Brockton area was hit by the foreclosures, we had a lot of families, you know, that lost their apartments and everything. And now we've seen an opiate crisis across the Commonwealth. And at Father Bill's in Mainspring, we've been seeing young adults that are struggling with this opiate coming. There's our fastest growing population. You know, when I first came to Father Bill's in Mainspring, 20% of our homeless were veterans. Now it's only 12%. It's still 12% too many.
Sure.
But it just depends on what's going on, you know, in the overall environment, you know, mental health system. When we started to see the state systems get cut, when state hospitals have gotten cut, about 50% of the people that come to us are struggling with severe mental health issues.
You know, and many of the image that people have is that alcoholic person roaming the streets, but many of our homeless are single mothers with children,
right.
are veterans who serve their country with honor, are young people who have a narcotic disease, not some kind of something that they choose, but actually a chronic problem. And so what we're dealing with is homelessness across the spectrum of women, children, veterans, young people, not just that stereotype that people often associate with homelessness, where that number is a relatively small number when you take in the large number of people that we serve.
How does the board work in conjunction with the president and CEO in order to have a long range plan to help the homeless in the region? How does that work?
Well, I and a number of other members of our board served on a strategic plan effort. We have a 5-year strategic plan now, which is in place. A number of board members participated in that, and I think we can perhaps talk a little bit about that. There's some key elements of that,
sure.
But certainly that's what board members do, and also clearly help John with fundraising, make that network connection, help raise funds, and get the visibility out there of what we do. Intercede sometimes with political leaders who need us to help them deal with the homelessness issue.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I've been very blessed to have a very committed board that understands that we want to be able to get everybody inside, and that if there is a family and children or an individual, to make sure that first and foremost we can provide a safe environment in our shelters, and just have the commitment of the board, knowing that the state is only picking up maybe 50% of the costs of and the need, that we have to raise the private dollars to make sure people aren't sleeping outside.
Mm.
And then to also, when it's tough times, you got to raise those resources to make sure that we shelter everybody, but to also have the board be committed to innovation and to look at pilots like our housing models that we've really become really proud of. It's great to have both. You know, we've got to take care of the people, but let's also be good stewards with the resources. You know, 88 cents to every dollar goes right to the people we assist. So it's great to be able to have such a committed board.
Kevin, one other thing, and John can speak to that better than I, is one of the parts of the strategic plan is what we call the triage program, and that is getting people in and out of shelter into a particular beneficial setting, and perhaps John can talk a little bit more about that.
So one of the major things we would like to do is, our founders always felt like the response to homelessness in the shelter would be a very temporary response. And here we are now 30 years later and still having large numbers of people coming to our doors, especially on the individual side. And so our strategic plan calls for us to look at converting the large shelter response, if it's in Quincy at Father Bill's or if it's in Brockton at at Mainspring House is to convert it to being more of a housing resource center that could be able to operate very similar to a medical emergency room. That you when somebody walks in the emergency room, if they need intensive care, they get it. If they need a Band-Aid, they get that too. And wouldn't it be great for Father Bills in Mainspring with a lot of support from community providers that if somebody comes in that we're triaging, we're assessing them, and then we're moving them on into the appropriate housing, to the appropriate treatment program, helping them get a job, helping them get back and connected to their family, whatever that might be. And that really could be a game changer for us, is to reduce that length of stay and get somebody in the appropriate place. Like, you know, almost 30% of the people that come to us are discharged from other state systems of care. And it would be great to be able to not just be the safety net, but to end that homelessness for that person immediately.
Is it an urban myth that most times that the reason that homelessness isn't just in suburban settings like Brockton and Quincy, but there we have a lot of homelessness around the South Shore?
Yeah,
is that true or false?
It's true. You know, we this year, and the board allowed us to do this, there had been church groups in Plymouth that have been sheltering individuals for a few years, and they weren't going to be able to continue. And Father Bills in Mainspring stepped up and partnered with the Plymouth Task Force, a group of religious organizations. And we sheltered in two churches this winter in downtown Plymouth for homeless individuals.
Goodness.
In Wareham, we sheltered with the Wareham interfaith leaders in that community. And we are seeing people coming from the surrounding South Shore communities to Quincy and Brockton, not high numbers, but we're seeing other communities struggling with that. You know, for Quincy, and you know, Quincy served around a little over 900 people at Father Bill's place, and about 250 of those people came from Weymouth. So we're seeing it coming from, you know, not just, but from suburban too.
In Hingham, as an example, we have Commander Anderson House, which is a beautiful building for veterans. But we have we had the enormous support of the people of Hingham. One would not think that Hingham would be a place where you'd have a homeless shelter, but it's a brand new building housing six veterans, and named after a military man of great honor who came from Hingham. So it's important to recognize that when you look at Quincy and Brockton, these are obviously urban gateway cities, so to speak,
right,
with a large a minority population, general poverty in some pockets. But when you look at the whole South Shore, Plymouth, Hingham, we even have some examples from Cohasset as well. You know, so homelessness strikes many people under many different circumstances. John mentioned the crash in 2009 that had an enormous impact, not just on individual people at the very edges of poverty, but people further up the ladder in terms of middle class and maybe even higher.
We, you know, just in a sense of Marshfield, five people went to Brockton last year at Mainspring House, and another seven went to Father Bill's. So just take, you know, our local community that we're speaking in tonight.
Right,
there's 12
right.
people that came right from Marshfield and needed to go to a shelter. The other thing we've done with our strategy is looked at, we're going to have over 400 units of housing this year. And we haven't developed all of that in Quincy and Brockton. We've been developing it in other communities where we see an uptick of where people may be coming, is to keep people in their community, keep people close to their family, their friends, their job, their church, or, you know, their connections. And so that's what we're also been targeting, is which communities are seeing an uptick in homelessness, and let's try to keep people close to their supports.
367 units in the Father Bill Mainspring's housing inventory. That's impressive.
Yeah.
And let's not forget also that it isn't just housing, that when these people come into the establishment, you got to feed them.
That's right.
Yeah.
You got to put a blanket on them.
Yeah.
Maybe they might need some clothing. And this isn't as simple as just go lay down on the bed. It's not that easy, is it?
And our case managers are working with our clients to get their GED, to get other working skills. We have individuals on a daily basis, Work Express, cleaning up Brockton and working in areas that need support. So many of our clients are desperate to try to move up the ladder, gain a skill, gain a high school degree, gain some work experience. And so it's, again, it's not just feeding and housing someone. It's what we're trying to do in
teaching
a basic,
them to fish so they can feed themselves.
Exactly.
Basically. Looking at, you know, we're right now, the Senate is about to start hashing out their version of the 2017 budget. Any thoughts? This time of year, do you guys sit and say, what's going to happen? What kind of an impact as to what they decide for the new fiscal year? How is that going to impact us? How does that affect you and your organization?
Yeah, no, we've been very active the last couple of years trying to get an increase to the what we would call the emergency services line item for individuals specifically. So Father Bill's in Mainspring is funded for 126 people a night at our two shelters at a bed rate of $26. We're averaging 265 people. So they're picking up less than 50% of the cost. We haven't seen a real investment or an impact into this line item in over 14 years. We're at a tipping point where we're putting a lot of private resources in, and we continually see more and more state systems discharging to places like Father Bill's in Mainspring. We really need support. We do not run up to the state house. We leverage a lot of resources. We bring in a lot of private resources. We bring in employment programs, resources, housing, as you can see, both from private and the federal community. We need an investment made. And in the first round here, the governor had us level funded. The House kind of went in the same path. We need an investment here, or people in communities are going to continue to struggle, and we're all going to continue to struggle with homelessness.
You know, and what's creating a even more of a challenge now, we mentioned it earlier, is the opiate crisis.
Is that
resources obviously need to be associated with that very, very difficult struggle. But as John mentioned, it's not just the dealing with that issue, but also many of these people end up with us because they've lost everything. So it's not just a mental, it's not just a health issue. It's eventually becomes a homelessness issue as well.
Yeah, we're speaking with Dr. Michael Krasanik. He's the chair of the board of directors for Father Bill's Mainspring, as well as CEO and president, Johnny Zwinski here, and we're talking. I know when we had Brockton Mayor Bill Carpenter on a couple of weeks ago, he had made a conversation piece out of they're looking at homelessness. They have a task force. He even during the conversation mentioned that they would explore the idea of maybe finding a new place for the homeless shelter. Have you been a part of those conversations? Have you had conversations with the mayor or maybe any other elected officials about such a proposal?
We have not been asked to be part of the task force, but we would welcome it, and we would absolutely welcome the opportunity to talk about if we could consider relocating Mainspring. But we want to relocate it with our new housing resource model that we've talked about with our strategic plan.
Sure.
We want a mixed-use facility that talks about triage, assessment, and housing all in it and help people during the daytime and all of that. But we would need a commitment from the state and the city and the region for us to be able to do that. We would need the mayor and the city to look at a housing agenda that would bring on more resources, not just for Brockton, but for the whole region, because no city should have to take on that whole responsibility. So we haven't been a part of those direct conversations, but we would more than willing welcome them.
And I think the mayor has said, and many of the business people in Brockton, they're concerned about when our clients get up in the morning, they must leave the center by 7, 8 o'clock. And so the question is, where do they go? All right. But if you have a home, and I'm not trying to be flip here, if you have a home, you're not going to be walking around because you're in your home, you know. And we've also talked it more so in Quincy about developing a community center as well. So to try to create not just a home for somebody, but a place for them to go as well, to with computers, with other teaching centers as well. So that seems to be an answer as well. A two-prong attack, and that is a community center a place for these individuals to go, but more importantly, that key that I mentioned to an apartment, because why would you want to roam the streets when you have a bathroom, a right. mini kitchen, a television set, a place to put your feet up, you know, so that kind of thing.
Where does the governor play a role in this? Because the governor, you know, in recent months has mentioned about this. When do we get all the key players involved, whether it's, you know, the mayor in Quincy or the mayor in Brockton or, you know, state representatives or state senators along with the governor to talk about finding a way? It seems as though Father Bill's mainspring, you have a long-term plan. How do we get everybody on the same page where everybody's working and going, working in the same direction? How does that happen?
You know, that's a great question, Kevin. I think the governor came out and visited one of our housing projects right before the inauguration, before he took office. So we were very excited about that opportunity to show him a housing model like this. And I think he gets it on the cost-effective side of it, that it's more cost-effective for the community and it's better for the person to house them immediately than manage this homeless issue. Mm. But I think that what we do need, and I agree with you, is we need some state coordination with the local communities just to address homelessness. And I think there's been a lot of other things that have gone over the last year and a half that the governor has had some crisis with. Yep. But I would say is that, and the lieutenant governor is going to come out to our dedication on May 19th for this new 22-unit housing.
In Brockton. In Brockton, Main Street.
It's for people to come and see this place, to see this model, because this is a partnership that could be from the local community, the state and the federal, where this is the solution. Yep. You know, in Brockton right now, there's been a place called Tent City that's been there for over 25 years.
There's newspaper articles about it every 6 months.
Exactly. Yep. And the city's just told us they're going to move those people on. They're going to break down the houses. They're going to move those people on.
Easier said than done.
And when you do that, those people are going to move to another location.
That's correct.
Instead of just moving them on, let's house them. Let's get them the resources and get them off the street, and let's give them housing. We've been able to show that through the years. I just hope you're right, that we can really think about how people could kind of come together and have this kind of conversation.
Well, I know when the governor first took office, you know, he jumped on the MBTA problem, looked at getting a control board. When he came in office, he got together a working group, traveled around the Commonwealth to talk about the opioid situation. Why not have something similar for the homeless issue? Will you get some of the leaders, maybe either yourself or Dr. Krasenik, one of you guys could sit on that with other people who are like-minded and understand the situation and go around the Commonwealth and hear from other people and get their thoughts on it. Why not something like that?
I know I'm speak for John. We're ready and willing to talk to anyone in the Baker administration or with Mayor Carpenter, Mayor Cook in Quincy. No matter who's out there, state reps, state senators, we're there to make our pitch and to show how we can be good partners. And you've seen the picture here. Obviously, we're on radio, but it's a beautiful building.
It's fantastic.
And the building that was built behind Mainspring is a beautiful building.
Very
similar. The building that's going to be built across the street at Catholic Charities, a beautiful building. It enhances the neighborhood there. Right. It increases the value,
instead
believe
of
it or not.
Instead of having run-down dwellings or parking lots that have weeds growing up through it, you have two nice new dwellings, and you're working on a third construction project.
And one thing that the Baker administration is addressing, and we just had a meeting with the mayor of Brockton about that with people from his administration, is how to end veterans homelessness. And we had about 60 people on the last Wednesday of January in the whole South Shore, 60 veterans that were homeless that night. We can end veterans homelessness if we only had 60 people. Mainspring assisted about 133 veterans last year throughout the 12 months. And so the mayor of Brockton, Father Bill's in Mainspring, the VA, the state, we all got together last week. We talked about how do we end veterans homelessness, and maybe that can be a way that we can look at that and say how do
caveat,
we get it as the caveat. So that is something that we are working on with the administration. I thank the administration for coming out, and let's focus on that immediately.
Let's give a little bit of an early tease to something that's coming up on July 26th, Food Fest 2016. If you two gentlemen take the microphone and kind of share with us the details. We'll do another show. We'll target this particular event in the next 4 to 6 weeks. Yeah. But give us the details for now in case there are any businesses out there that are interested, or there's anybody who's interested in volunteering and helping?
Yeah, no. So, you know, Father Bills in Mainspring has to raise about a little over $1 million privately just to support our individual shelter and housing programs and our family shelter programs with the Gap. And what the Food Fest does is it's our big signature event that raises the private dollar, so we never turn anybody away. This is a wonderful event, and it has about 40 restaurants. People can come in at the Hingham Shipyard and do a taste test around. It's on Tuesday, July 26th. We're looking for corporate sponsors, and you get your name on the billboards and everything, and get great opportunity to take your employees out for a nice night for a great cause. We're looking for raffle items. If there's restaurants or people that have tickets to sporting events or anything, we'd love to know about it. You can contact us about all of this on our website at helpfbms.org. You can call us at 617-376-2255, and we'd love to share with people more to be a part of our food fest. It's we're very, very much looking forward to a great evening, and the restaurants really outdo each other.
I just want to say it's a great take. It's great food. It's always a sunny, beautiful night. Last year, the sun came down right over the water, and people were just astounded. There's music there. There's all kinds of activity going on. Of course, as I say, right in the Hingham Shipyard there.
Beautiful, beautiful
and,
setting.
It's a can't miss event. Anything, no problem with parking or anything along those lines.
Any particular food you gravitate to, Doctor?
Anything that's gooey and delicious and chocolate, probably. So,
gentlemen, I want to thank you for coming in. I want to thank Dr. Krzenek for he was the one who we had a little bit of a conversation. He goes, "Hey, any chance we could do something?" So I'd love to.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you
very
much.
And we want to thank you for inviting us.
And let's keep the conversation going. Again, we'll have you back in before this event so we can promote it.
Thank
you. Get word out about it. And I want to thank you, John, as well. Again, you're no stranger to coming in here. Zoe, nice job as always.
Thank you.
Very, very nice job.
And Kevin, as they say, no one should be homeless.
Excellent.
That's our tagline. Nobody should be homeless. Not
nobody.
Nobody should. I should get our tagline straight, John, right? I guess.
Dr. Michael Krzenek. He, of course, chairman of the board of directors for Father Bills in Mainspring, and Mr. Yuzwinski, who is the CEO, president. Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming in this evening, and we're not done with you just yet.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to just step aside for a moment, but when we come back, we're going to talk cars with Junior D'Amato right here on 95.9 WATD. Don't go anywhere.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.